dream. This is a show for entrepreneurs, for dreamers, for investors, for technical people and non-technical people. Anyone and everyone that has a dream. So as you know by now, we are on every Saturday at noon. This is a non-commercial show. No money has been paid, no money has been received, no money has been given out. The singular goal is to promote entrepreneurship to help you realize your dreams. So think of this show as a helpline for startups, if you will. As you guys know by now, we get a lot of requests for mentoring. I would highly encourage folks, please call in and ask questions on the air. A lot of the questions are repeat questions, common questions. We'd love to share this knowledge with the entire universe of startup founders out there. We obviously won't ask you to disclose anything that's confidential. If we feel that you're getting into an area that might be confidential, we'd be the first to stop you and say, let's not talk about that. We'll talk about it off the air. So obviously keep in mind, folks, lawyers, dentists are doing lots of stuff on this radio station giving out advice. And I think if they can keep away from the confidentiality issues, certainly startup founders can come and talk about their companies. Don't be shy. Don't be nervous. If you're going to start a company, one of the things you'll have to do a lot is come out and talk. In fact, I was mentoring a couple of founders earlier this week, and in talking to them, they were saying that we are not salespeople, we are engineers. One of the first things we'll have to do is go hire salespeople. And my response to these guys was, if you're the founder of a company, you are a salesman. That's your job number one. Whether you can build your technology or not, number one, first and foremost, you have to be able to go out and sell. Whether you're selling your idea or you're selling your product or you're selling yourself or you're selling the company itself, you always, always, always have to sell. So sales is a very big part of starting any kind of startup entity, if you will. As usual, folks, feel free to reach out. There is an ecosystem of startups that has been forming. And if you have a question, comment related to startups, we'll try to address it or we'll defer it to somebody who can. You can always call in at 408-912-KLOK. That's 408-912-5565. And folks, please remember, when you call, make sure to turn your radios down. Okay, so quick recap. What have we talked about in the past? We've talked about how to raise money. We've done the anatomy of a startup. We've talked about viral marketing. We've talked about how to create buzz for your company. We've had a bunch of celebrity guests, serial entrepreneurs, professors of entrepreneurship. We've had fantastic VCs who've come on. We've had entrepreneurs who've built successful companies. We've talked to entrepreneurs who've started companies that were somewhat successful. We've talked to entrepreneurs whose companies have not done very well. So we've tried to cover the spectrum. And we will continue to do that. I've got a fantastic guest who's going to be joining us in the studios in a few minutes. Abhay Bhushan will be coming on. He's a fantastic guy. He's a really incredible story. I think you guys should really sit tight to hear what this guy has to say. He's got a fantastic experience behind him. I'll just sort of whet your appetite by saying Abhay graduated from the very first batch of IIT Kanpur in 1960s when he started, graduated in 1965. So 50-year anniversary, he was just commended over there. And he's been involved with a couple of dozen startups over the course of his life. He's sat on half a dozen boards. He's a fantastic guy. And I think one of the most incredible things that I find about him is he still runs the marathon. So he'll be joining us in the studios in a few minutes. And as usual, folks, if you have questions, comments, feel free to challenge me. If you see something you disagree with, feel free to challenge me. I've known to have made mistakes before, and I'm sure I'm going to make some more ahead. Upcoming guests, we've got a couple of lawyers that should be joining us in a few weeks from now. I know we get a lot of questions around intellectual property, corporate stuff that people are saying, how do I build my legal entity and how do I sort of go ahead and do all of those things? So we've got all of that coming up. But more importantly, before I dive in, I know the switchboard is already beginning to get lit up over here. So I'm going to grab one quick call over here. And after that, we're going to start having a conversation with Abhay, who will be joining us in a few minutes. Sapre Salamat, you're live on air.
Thanks. My name is Krishna Mohan from Cupertino. I have a couple of things, actually. I don't know where to start. I wanted to start some kind of industry to build motorized wheelchairs for physically handicapped people in India. And I studied, and there seems to be no such manufacturer is there. Intent to serve the people and as well as to help some of my cousins who cannot walk. So I wanted to do something like this. I don't know where to start.
Very, very noble idea. Can you give us a couple of minutes? I'm going to have Abhay joining us in the studios in a few minutes. Abhay is also very, very big on social entrepreneurship, and this is right up your alley. So just stay tuned for brief moments and I'll have Abhay talk about this as one of the first things as soon as he joins us in the studios.
Sure.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks.
Okay, so I'm going to have Abhay join us in the studios now. Abhay, welcome to the studios.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's a real pleasure. Thank you for taking time away for your friends, family, being out here on a Saturday afternoon and promoting entrepreneurship. It's a real delight to have you. So, folks, Abhay Bhushan is a charter member of Thai. He's been in the Valley for, what, I think 20 years now?
25.
25 years in the Valley. Well, you know what? Rather than me speaking about it, why don't you tell us? Your IIT Kanpur first batch, 1960?
Well, you know, I just was involved with the early development of the internet, writing the FTP and email, and then joined Xerox. And my entrepreneurship thing was a little bit later. Started my first company in 93 with a friend of mine, my classmate from IIT Kanpur, on semiconductor equipment manufacturing. That gave me a taste. You know, we started with almost no money. I just put our own money together. And then went small cap public, which is kind of very unusual. And then after that, I got a taste. I started an email software company, which was bought by Netscape.
Okay, wait. We covered like a lot of good stuff here very, very quickly. So I need to roll back. IIT Kanpur, first batch, 1960. Name like Abhay, you're roll number one, I assume.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, so very first IIT and very first roll number one, electrical engineering. From there, you went to MIT, the MIT.
Right.
And you were the guy who actually connected the first MIT computer to the ARPANET.
Correct.
Which is today what we call the internet.
Right.
Fantastic. And then you wrote the very first version of FTP and email.
Correct.
Okay. So folks, right there, that should give you some idea of how humble this guy is. He just sort of quickly went over all this stuff, but Abhay is the guy who wrote the very first version of FTP email. And you did an MBA from Sloan School.
Yeah.
And you, from there, you went on to join Xerox, and you were part of the team at Xerox that was working. Well, actually, before even that, I want to talk about something else you did briefly in your life. You took a year off at some point, right?
Right. In 1978, when I was at Xerox, I got a social service leave, went back to India and worked in the villages with some of the poorest people, looking at their appropriate technology, what would help the people in the village, starting schools, hospitals, integrated village development, but also introducing technology like biogas, like new manufacturing for low-cost manufacturing in the villages. And it was one of the most fascinating years of my life, and that is one of the reasons why when Rohit mentioned social entrepreneurship, because to me, I thought the enterprising spirit must be combined to help the real people who really need that help. And in India, there was a lot of rural people because India at that time was 70% rural. The urban migration has increased. But it's something that we can apply our mind because the purpose of our lives is to really make lives better for others. And so I really commend the caller who called and said he wants to make better handicap for wheelchairs and other things for the handicapped. Right? This is a very, very laudable goal.
Fantastic. And so what can we do to help him, or what can you do to help him?
Okay, I'll just kind of start with just one small story.
Sure.
And this is very recent. Like on Monday, there was a meeting with a person, Irfan Alam, from Samman. Now, Samman is in Patna, in Bihar, and they make rickshaws. Lightweight rickshaws, and they've organized
cycle rickshaws.
They've organized the cycle rickshaw pullers, so to give them dignity, and to give them ways where they can improve their livelihood, and that has made a huge difference. What I'm saying is the reason I brought this up is because you can apply technology. So the caller, let me get the caller's name again.
We don't have.
Yeah. So let me just address his issue. What you can do first, see what is there in the market today in India. Now, I know I have one of my aunts who is suffering from severe arthritic pain, so she could not walk. And she would come here and ask us to send wheelchairs from the U.S. because wheelchairs in India were very poor.
So there's a real need for what this caller is talking about.
Absolutely, and there's a real market.
Yeah.
So reason I mentioned Samman is you can bring your social entrepreneurship thing with, and that's a non-profit, but it does not take funds from outside. It generates its own funds. So it's a self-supporting and expanding non-profit. And that's what I assume the caller who called, he can make a business or he can make a non-profit.
Yeah, and I see no reason. Social entrepreneurship is saying we're being socially conscious, but that doesn't mean that you yourself cannot be doing it as a business for a profit venture, right?
Absolutely. So that's a choice
that
people make. They can say, hey, this makes more sense as a non-profit. This makes more sense as a business for profit.
Right.
And there are good arguments for each side. And I can certainly meet with the person, the caller who called, and I can they can contact me through Rohit.
Okay, so you can reach us, I guess, radio@rohit.com. That's radio@rohit.com.
Yeah.
And just reach out, caller. We'll connect you up with Abhay. Abhay is very big on social entrepreneurship, but continue, please.
So I think what happens is now you start looking and say, what's the need? What is there in the marketplace? Just like any business, social entrepreneurship has the same elements that you have with a for-profit business. You look at the market.
Right.
You talk to your potential customers. What are their needs? You don't assume that this is the kind of chair that this person will need. Okay, I want an electric chair. It's not what you want. It's what's the person.
What the customer needs, right?
Customer needs. And
and
talk to at least 20, 30 customers. That's what I tell every entrepreneur who comes to me for business or for social media. Who's your customer? Who are you trying to serve?
Right.
And talk to that person and see whether what you are developing, whether it's a process, a group, a society, a product, how does it meet their needs?
Yes.
Okay. Then you look and say, what can they afford?
Right.
What is the price point? I mean, you don't want to develop a product that will price out of the market. And then what you do is you look at technology. Okay, what's the technology that is appropriate? Appropriate technology is one that puts society's resources, as local resources, most productively into work, which means what materials are available, what labor is available, how can you build it there? How can you design it there? For example, Saman, they went to IIT Kanpur.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you for a second here. We've got the caller back online.
Okay.
So, caller, are you back with us?
Yeah, this is Krishna back again. Sorry, my call got dropped.
Okay.
No, that's okay. Continue, please.
Hi, Krishna. So, I hope you were hearing on the radio what I was saying.
Yeah, I heard a bit of it. Then when the call got connected, I reduced the volume.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So, what I was suggesting to Krishna is that just like any business enterprise, you talk to a lot of customers who are going to use your product, the handicapped people, and see what their pain points are, what their price points are. And then put some technology. And like I was mentioning Saman, the rickshaw thing, they went to IIT Kanpur. And IIT Kanpur professors and students, they designed a very lightweight rickshaw, which actually runs much better. So the rickshaw pullers are enormously happy with it. And same way, what I think is apply the technology which is appropriate to the local needs, can be constructed, designed, and manufactured locally, and put you can put the best technology. That means doesn't mean the technology has to be developed in India. It can be worldwide technology, since we are a worldwide marketplace. It can be technology you developed or innovations that you made. And then look at the distribution channels. How are you going to do it? You can have a for-profit business, and you can connect people who do sell it. You can do internet marketing. You can do marketing through the people who service the handicapped people. So there are a lot of nonprofits that service, like, I don't know if you're aware of Jaipur Food. Are you aware of Jaipur Food?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So Jaipur Food has made a tremendous innovation, low-cost prosthetics, and they're working in Iraq. They're working globally. And it's a great nonprofit, and in Indians for Collective Action that I've been part of, we've been supporting Jaipur Food for a very long time.
I think for the benefit of the rest of the listenership, if you could just say Jaipur Food is really a non-for-profit organization that was started in India, I think, and what they're doing is they're creating artificial prosthetics. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And very low cost. I mean, 100 the cost of what people get here.
In the West. So
in the West.
Even my idea is the way the wheelchairs are given free of cost to the needy people by insurance.
Yeah.
There, I am trying to see how best I can utilize the available government subsidies to give a free or very low-cost gadget to the people.
Are you thinking of this as a for-profit venture or a not-for-profit venture, Krishna?
It's mostly non-profit, but I have a couple of... Actually, my brother himself, he's a physically handicapped by 99%. He can't walk.
Right.
So, and he's mentally all right. He did his prosthetization. So I want to keep him busy in this activity, and he's already doing lots of social service in India.
Yeah.
I want to make him an entrepreneur. Actually, this is for him, so that he will make his livelihood. Of course, he just can't walk, actually.
Right.
So he's already dependent. So at least you will be able to help some other such people who are who can do. Actually, when I went to India in December, I went to a handicraft exhibition. There, I was fascinated by one person who doesn't have both legs, but he's managing four such people doing some handicraft and selling things made of bamboo. It was so fascinating thing. He made a nice house for me within half an hour.
Huh.
So I thought there's something like that, so that he'll be busy and he'll help some other people, such people.
So, yeah, definitely, you know, Krishna, what you can do is you can connect with the organization that service the handicapped, because uh-huh. they would know how to get some of the government funding that you need. Uh-huh. And then see what kind of wheelchair that you are wanting to promote, what kind of wheelchair best meets their needs in the Indian conditions, because the conditions over here, there are ramps all over the place. In India, you don't have those ramps. I mean, there's no, handicap thing. So you really need to look at that through. There are dusty roads. They're not paved things. So you need to look at how. In fact, I was fascinated to read that one person in India, he went on a wheelchair 250 miles in the rural, from rural areas, and just traveling, which is just very inspiring. So I think so you have a very laudable goal. Mm-hmm. And so I hope you continue with it.
But at the expense of being the cynic in this conversation, I also want to be the realist in this conversation. And I'd say that I think it's a fantastic goal, and I think it's a fantastic idea. But I am a little bit suspect about this whole idea of going to the government of India. In my experience, the government of India moves extremely slowly and might dampen your enthusiasm for what you're trying to do. So I would, this is just sort of a knee-jerk gut reaction to say, do this if you can do this without the support of the government of India, almost. So I don't know, that's just my, I wouldn't even say two cents, my 1 cent.
Well, that is why, Rohit, I suggested that they go to the existing organizations that serve the needy. They do have government contracts.
Right.
I do know that. And so therefore, you don't have to wait till you get through the government of India. You work through them.
Right. Okay, fantastic. Krishna, I think this is a very noble cause. I think you should definitely send me an email offline or online, and I'll connect you up with Abhay, and maybe Abhay and you can actually go do something, because Abhay is a fantastic guy. So thank you for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, my name is Chandrika. And
Chandrika, Sapne Salamat.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I was wondering, could we hear this program online?
Yes, you can. We actually only put up archives at this point. We have been talking about streaming it, but we haven't gotten around to streaming it. But you can hear the past episodes from the past few weeks, months online at rohit.com/radio. rohit.com/radio.
Okay, rohit.com.
Rohit is my name, Chandrika. Rohit is the name of my company. Yeah, I could not get... We had to throw in that extra O in there.
Okay. That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Thank you for the information. And, you know, I'll, you know, try to log on to that and hear the past, this thing.
Okay, great. Thank you for your call, Chandrika.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, folks, so we're going to continue talking with Abhay. I want to spend a few minutes talking with Abhay, so I'm going to put calls on hold briefly and open up the lines at 12:30 so when we can start talking a little bit more about Q&A. So, folks, if you have questions, just sort of hold your horses briefly. Abhay, let's coming back. So you did spend a whole year in social entrepreneurship in India, and you actually, this is 1978, if I recall correctly, you were already working in microfinance, which is the new thing in the last few years here, but you were doing that in 1978.
Yes, Rohit. In 78, this was an integrated village development project. We had some funding from German Bread for the World, some from Indian government. And so we were doing these projects, and it just occurred to me that one of the best ways we can help the people is to provide them working capital or capital to buy machinery and things that will improve their livelihood. So it started as a livelihood generation project. And the way we did is we got a committee of village people together and say, okay, who are the people who need funds? And you guys evaluate it. You know the people. And then we will give them revolving loans. They can pay back in a year's time. And then the next person gets a loan. And it was just wonderful to watch, like a bicycle repair person. He just came and said, you know, I waste so much of my time getting spare parts, running to the city and getting this thing, and my productivity is down to half when I do that. So if you could lend me, and those times, 1,000 rupees was a lot of money.
Yes.
And now, of course, 1,000 rupees won't buy that
1978,
much.
1978, if I were to sort of try and put it in today's terms, I would say what? 1,000 is probably close to 50,000 today?
About maybe 20,000.
20,000, would you say? We're both speculating like here, right? We're both
exactly.
speculating
but, I mean,
on our guts.
It depends on what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So it's at least 10 times, and in some area like housing in Delhi, of course.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
So you can forget about
Let's
it.
Let's not even talk
okay,
about
right,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in most areas, they say people say between 10 and 20 times.
Buying power.
Buying power and things. So. And so
Now, one of the things I remember you mentioned was you had a fantastic non-default ratio. And I loved the rationale you gave me for such a fantastic non-default ratio.
Well, it's simple. That one, the need was great, and we could see right away the payback would be very fast. Second, there's a social pressure that came from the committee who knew the person. Hey, we are giving you this loan. If you don't give it back, the second person doesn't get it. And that's a big pressure for a person to have. It's not that you have your own reputation. You also feel you're taking something from the next person.
Exactly. So there was this whole peer pressure among the society that whenever you return this money, when a person one returns the money, that same money goes off to help person two.
Right.
So there was this whole social system that was saying, you got to be good on your loans and pay them back.
And, you know, if somebody's having trouble, they all pitched in to help him. Yeah. That was the other part of the thing. The community pitched in to help. For example, let's say they had money for starting a shop for a sweet shop, okay?
Mithai wala,
okay? He wanted some things to buy, some equipment and things that will improve productivity. He started having some problems. Everybody said, you know, what's the problem? They went and helped him, and they said, okay, we'll patronize you.
Very good.
Okay? I mean, that's another benefit he got.
Yes.
So, you know, when community pulls together, people really prosper.
Yeah, great. Okay, we're going to take a break here. I've got my producer signaling here furiously, so we're going to take a very, very quick break though.
Do you use Rohit to make highlights?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everything I highlight is automatically saved and clipped for me.
So, what's the benefit?
What's the benefit, you ask? Let me tell you. Everything I highlight is automatically filed for me. So, for example, if I'm doing a search for something using Google or whatever, typically, I have to go through several pages, and on each page, there is only a part of the page that I'm interested in. I just highlight the portions of the page that are of interest to me. Rohit automatically, behind the scenes, saves all my highlights for me. I can then just go and see everything in my collection on one page.
That sounds pretty nifty.
Yeah, get this. I can then further cherry pick and combine them. What that does is, it shows me all the underlying pages with highlights as one page.
Wow! Okay, I am impressed. How do I sign up? What does it cost?
Ha! Get this. It's all free, and you don't even have to sign up or fill out any registration forms.
Sweet! Okay, I'm going to go download it right now.
Cool! By the way, thought I'd mention, there is no download requirement either.
This is too good to be true.
Try it. What have you got to lose? Rohit is fabulous.
Highlight the web. Go Rohit.
Hey, Bibi, did you go through all those articles I sent you yesterday?
Itne sare kaam, ghar ka kaam karun, beti ka homework karaun, kya kya karun, kab padhun?
They were important articles. Some on the school, the company, the community. You need to go through those.
Those are such long articles. Don't send me anything unless you highlight it.
Highlight it?
Do you not know about Rohit? Use Rohit and highlight.
Oh, maaf kijiye bhai. Main next time karta hoon.
Rohit is a free, no sign up, no download web tool that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. Rohit.com.
If you want me to read it, use Rohit.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting a tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
And now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, started several companies in Silicon Valley, and has prosecuted close to a dozen patents individually. His personalized URL patent is today in use by hundreds of millions of users. Yes, hundreds of millions of users are using an invention that was personally patented by Rohit.
Itna sa khaba
Sapne Salamat. Welcome back, dosto. Welcome back to Sapne Salamat. We are talking today with Abhay Bhushan. Abhay Bhushan is a very interesting guy who's started, well, I won't even say started. He's been involved with a couple of dozen startups. He's been on the board of directors of about half a dozen startups. He is from the 50th batch of, he's from the first batch from IIT Kanpur, which just celebrated its golden jubilee. So, and he just ran a marathon, and he's talking about social entrepreneurship. So I'm going to dive right back in and talking about the fact. So 1978, you took a year off social entrepreneurship, went back to India, came back, and you were bicycling to work every day at Xerox Park. Not Park, Xerox, right?
Yes, but Xerox.
Okay. And so you've been involved with Indians for Collective Action for quite a while now. What was that about?
Well, you know, Indians for Collective Action started, I think, in 1968, which way back in UC Berkeley.
Wow.
Where a lot of interesting ideas start, which a bunch of people got together and said, we want to help development of India.
Yeah.
And that's, I got involved after I came back from in 79 with Indians for Collective Action. Uh-huh. After I moved here, I got involved much more. So what Indians for Collective Action does is helps people become social entrepreneurs, as well as support social entrepreneurs in India.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of basic mission. And support different projects, protect the environment, education. It incubated Asha for Education, Foundation for Excellence, number of other groups.
Interesting.
Now Inspire, young Indian kids, youth program, where they can go and spend a summer in India working with an NGO, getting their feet wet and their hands dirty, trying to help real people. Yeah.
Fantastic. Noble cause. Well, let's. We've talked a lot about your noble causes of social work. Let's talk about the fact what you've done with entrepreneurship. I know you got involved with entrepreneurship back in 1993.
Yeah, in 93, I started my first company. I was a co-founder with my friend of the company Yield Up International. After about 2 years, it went public small cap. And then after three, four more years, when the Asian flu hit and the people were not buying semiconductor equipment, we sold it to another equipment company, FSI International. So that happened in 99.
Yeah.
After that,
I think the first time I met you was actually at the Yield Up offices in 96 or 97 when I was starting my first product company.
Yeah, I think 97, end of 97, early, somewhere there, mid 97 or somewhere there.
Yes,
I remember that. So Rohit, tell me, you know, I've seen you afterwards and a couple of other times also when you were starting another business. I think you must have started half a dozen business. Now this is Rohit.com. I went to Rohit.com and I was just intrigued as to what you're doing. Now, I mean, I saw about the pen, I saw about the highlighting, and something about micro information. Tell me more about it.
It's a very interesting play, and it's funny you should ask that question. So I think at the surface of it, we sort of present it as a very simple yellow highlighter. But it's really a very interesting play because I always look at people and I say, how many people out there have ever shared a link with somebody over email? Right? Everybody shared a link with email over email. And the problem is when you do that, people often don't get to see what it is that you really want to see because there is an information overload on the web. Right? Everybody's struggling with information overload. And the question is, how do you fight this information overload? If you look in the physical world, there's a very simple tool that we've used, which is called a yellow highlighter. And you just say, this is what is relevant to me. So Rohit by itself actually is a very interesting play also. Rohit has the obvious play on my name, but it also says Ru. Ru means soul, right?
Yeah.
So when you highlight a document, you sort of get to the soul of the document. And oftentimes people will come back and say, oh, that's so tacky. But I say, you know what? Maybe it's tacky, but it's true that when you get to the soul of the document as you define it is what it allows you to do. So the interesting thing about it is, now once you make these highlights, you can basically be surfing the web at any point in time. And anything you highlight gets automatically clipped, archived, stored for you. So it allows you to create your own web of what is of relevance to you. And then we do all kinds of interesting things with those highlights. So for instance, if you're a blogger, we can automatically feed those to your blog.
Yeah, I think this is interesting because I do certainly find myself information overload. And, you know, it's kind of tough because I must get about 200 to 300 email messages a day.
Exactly.
And forget about the other links and things and going through it. And, you know, you say, okay, what do I do? I print some of them and I don't want to print them because of my environmental.
Exactly.
Kind of, you know, if you know that I started the Environment Leadership Program at Xerox because I really wanted to, after Earth Day 1990, I wanted to protect the planet.
Right.
You don't want to print them. So what happens is you link them, you save the link in another document, and it becomes very cumbersome.
Exactly.
And so if you have a solution to this, that will sure help me.
Absolutely. That's part of what we are doing is, in fact, we sort of don't wear our green on our sleeve because it's almost like, okay, everybody claims to be green, so I'm not claimed to be non-green. I'm just sort of, I like being the contrarian, the voice of contrary, right? So anyway, so enough about my company. Let's talk a little bit more about your entrepreneurial venture. So 1999 was Yield Up, and then you started another little company right after that.
Actually, I started that before joining Yield Up in 95.
95.
I had, when Yield Up went public in 95, after 2 years, from 93 to 95, I said, okay, to my friend, hey, you know, the semiconductor equipment is not my area. My area is internet. So why don't you hire the right people?
Yeah.
And now you can take off.
Yeah.
And I started with some people I met at Thai, in fact, a company called Portola Communications.
Yes, I remember.
And that was funded by NEA and Alloy Ventures, which is called Asset Management at that time. After a year and a half of that company, we formed the idea in fall of 95 after Yield Up went public, and in formed the company in 96, February or March. And then 1 year later, after it had been funded by NEA and a couple of things, Netscape comes to us and says, we want to buy you.
Yeah.
So in June of 97, that transaction was consummated. At that time, my friend came back to me and said, hey, you sold your company now. Why don't you come back and help me? I really need your help.
Yeah.
So then I went back to Yield Up in June of 97.
That's and then you went and sold Yield Up as a public company to another company.
It's about 2 years later because of the Asian flu.
Yeah.
The company was one of the fastest growing companies in Silicon Valley, was in San Jose Business Journal. Put it that way, it was one of the fastest growing public companies. It grew in revenue from 2 million to 8 million.
Yeah.
And then when the Asian flu hits, our revenue flattened.
Yeah.
Once the revenue flattened in a growing company, it goes in a loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we couldn't kind of sustain the kind of growth. So another company approached us, FSI International.
Yeah.
And we said, makes good sense because it is a small company with $8 million. You cannot really survive in a down market. Rising tide lifts all boats.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's, you have to really watch the market. And that's why it became very difficult for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that couldn't be more appropriate. So anyways, we have a lot more ground to cover here with Abhay, but I'm going to open up the phone lines, 408-912-5565. First call coming in. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hello. My name is Satya. First of all, thank you for asking me this question. I actually have one question and one request for advice. My first question is, 3 of us are planning to start a consulting company, a software consulting company. And we are not looking for venture capitalists to fund us, but instead we are going to pull in some money as an initial investment.
Good.
But not all of us are pulling in same amount of money.
Good.
Right. My question is, in a scenario like this for a software consulting company, how do you calculate the sweat equity, the equity which is not directly related to cash, but the sweat equity? Do we have any fixed formula for doing that? It's kind of a tricky, though. Right?
Yes, it is a bit tricky. Do you want to take first crack at this, Abhay, or do you want me to take first crack at it?
I think both of us should answer. I can get from my perspective, both with my own companies, as well as with the entrepreneurs I mentored, must be at least a dozen of them or more. The thing that to see, money is only one aspect. Okay, so money is an important aspect. We should be say, okay, this is what money will get you. So, and that money is that distribution of sweat of money equity is the same for all of us. So, what we did at Yield Up, I put in more money than my friend there, and he was a CEO and he did all the work at that time in '93, and I was only putting 10% of my time. When the company first started, I put more money, but he, of course, got a lot more equity. The reason is very simple. You say, okay, this is the money part of the equity. And in a consulting company, because Yield Up started more like a consulting company for improving yields, we went into equipment manufacturing later, and it's all our own money. And what we did is that you put at a very low value the first assignment of the thing, and then you can increase it and increase the value where money comes in. So there are many different mechanisms to do it. So I think you should recognize, one, the money part, the one who's going to put most time, who has the best idea, who's going to lead it, what their role is going to be. So all these things should need to be factored in.
Yeah, I think, Satya, my answer is almost exactly the same. I'll sort of distill it down and say, I would say, pull all the money together and behave as if you're an outside investor. and say, okay, we are putting in $50,000. We're going to value the company at, I'm going to make up a number at $150,000. So one third of the company is going to be based upon this money that's coming in. And depending upon who's putting in 10,000, who's putting in 20,000, who's putting in 30,000, you get that much ownership. Remaining is the two third of the company where you come in and say, okay, who's the idea guy? This is 10% for the idea guy if it is. And then you say, now what are we left with? We're left with about 57%. And then you say, okay, here's the guy who's going to be spending most of his time. So this is X percent. The guy who's going to be spending less time is going to be Y percent. So use something like that to come up with a formula. It'll help you get towards where you want to be. If you want to talk more specifics, feel free to send us an email and be happy to help out.
Sure. I also have one more request of advice.
Please, fire away. I see my phone lines are, all my lines are lit up. So fire away quickly, please.
Okay. Where can I get the legal advice for to start a company like this?
Send me an email. I'll connect you up with a couple of referrals of folks that can help you out.
All right. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing. Bye now. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Good afternoon.
Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Thank you. Do you have a quick question, comment?
Yes, I have a quick question and a comment. I like your show. I congratulate you on having a guest who is extremely socially conscious. Mr. Bhushan, very nice to hear you. The very first call was about your wheelchairs for India. There is a Professor Seshan at San Jose State who does this and related things, and he's looking for people to work with in India.
Krishna, I hope you're listening.
Professor Seshan is in the San Jose State Department of Mechanical Engineering.
Lovely.
That's my comment, and I'm very happy to have Mr. Bhushan as a guest. I have never met that gentleman, but probably I am much senior to him. And keep up the good work.
Thank you for your calls.
Bye.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
I've never met that gentleman.
I'm not coming. I'll tell
you. Sapne Salamat, my friend, you are live on air. I'm coming. All right, I guess main chala bhi gaya hoon. So phone number to the studio is 408-912-KLOK, 408-912-5565. So, Abhay, continuing, we've got so much ground to cover here. We're almost running out of time here. So you did Yield Up, you did the Portola Communications, then you started a company called Mobile WebServe, which you ran for, I guess, 1999 to almost 2008. And then back in 2002, you co-founded a company called Chakshu, which was about eye drops.
Right.
And what's the story there?
Yeah, well, just a small correction. I didn't run Yield Up. Yeah. I mean, I didn't run Mobile WebServe. Oh. I was one of the investors and mentors for it.
Okay.
I was a CEO when the first CEO didn't work out.
Okay.
So I stepped in to run it for 4 or 6 months, found another CEO.
Good.
And then the market and everything in 2001 just tanked.
Yeah.
There was no financing. The telecom company stopped buying.
Yeah.
And so we almost closed the company down. It resurrected. And then in the 2008 downturn, we just had to close it.
So you have seen the trials and tribulations of a startup from the successfuls to the not so successful.
Well, I can tell you, you learn much more from your mistakes.
Yes.
Mobile WebServe taught me much more about entrepreneurship than Portola Communication, which was sold after 15 months, and Yield Up, which went public after 2 years.
Yeah.
No, I learned a lot in Yield Up because afterwards went to a downtime.
Yeah, yeah.
For 1998 and 1999. Yeah. But the mistakes, remember your mistakes. They're learning experiences.
Yeah.
Don't get discouraged.
Yeah. And so what was this about Chakshu?
Yeah. Okay, Chakshu happened. My brother, he thought of an idea which helped my dad's and my mom's eyesight. So we tried on about half a dozen other people. And I tried myself. I said, I can see much more clearly. We said, let's form a company. And we raised some money. We put our own money first, and then we raised some more money. And then with the downturn, still struggling under a new name.
Interesting. You know, it's a really small world. So I had this conversation with you, 4 days ago or 5 days ago?
Yeah.
2 days ago, I went to Stanford and I met with a guy called Ira Wong.
I see.
And I think he was one of the guys involved with your venture, right?
Correct.
Yes.
He is a very interesting guy who has done a lot of work.
Very dour guy, I thought. But interesting.
Dour is okay. Because one of his, in his earlier company, one of his co-founders was one of our investors. In Chakshu.
Yeah.
And he did, and he has his own thing. So
I think bedside manner, Stanford doctors, they have a lot of learning to do. categorical statement I'll make. You know, most Stanford doctors have a lot of bedside manner learning to do. But moving on. So I want to talk about some of the most recent stuff you've been involved with. You were the first president and executive chairman of Pan IIT. And this is the one where you invited Bill Gates to come and deliver the keynote.
That's correct.
What's meeting Bill like?
Well, I was the executive committee chair for delivery. We had other people like Arjun Malhotra and Rajat Gupta and others who were chair of
Were also stalwarts, which many people may not know, but Rajat used to be the executive chairman at McKinsey, right?
Correct. That is correct. So he's the one
Arjun was the guy who started HCL.
That's right. And Rajat is the one who invited Bill Gates.
Okay.
Because he knew Bill Gates, and Bill Gates was kind enough to come, and that kind of launched the first Penn IIT conference, which has been a great journey.
Yeah.
And they asked me that if I would head the Penn IIT USA, and I said, sure, I'm an IITian from the first batch, and I'd love to do it, and it's been a great journey.
Yeah.
And we've been holding events worldwide in India and here regularly.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. We're going to grab this call coming in. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapne Salamat, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for your call. Do you have a quick question, comment for us?
Yeah, sure. What kind of industries, investors are interested at this time?
Oh, boy. I would almost say that I don't even want to answer that question. And I'll tell you why I don't want to answer that question is because if you're looking to build a company, I would highly suggest that you don't chase what investors are interested in, because that is absolutely wrong way to build a business. And not one I would condone. I think you should build a business. Go ahead.
It's not that I'm going to build, investors invest in. It's only informative sake. What is that coming up? Is it a mobile application or any other technology?
It's so subjective. It's so opinion-based. I personally, I cannot condone that. So I'm going to hold back from answering that. If Abhay wants to answer that, I'll be happy to.
Yeah, I think, Rohit, you're absolutely right. And I always urge the entrepreneurs or anybody, whether you're working for a business or you're working for social entrepreneurship or anything, follow your passions.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that's going to get you. It's not what has the most scope. It is what you're passionate about. Certainly, the market is very important. So when you're asking about the market, the buzzwords, of course, people know green tech. Okay, which means solar energy, biofuels, all these. These are important and they will be important, but there's so many people in it. So the question that is there is there too many people in it? If you have a great idea, you have passion for it, there's still room for it. Software, still the same thing. Software is always there. I think the mobile market and the transition to smaller devices, all these things will be important. But again, it's follow your passions.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better, Rabbi. Follow your passion. That's the one thing. Whatever you do with passion will get you more success in dollars and cents than it's something that you do without passion, is my belief. So thank you for your call. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back, we'll continue talking with Abhay Bhushan.
Did you get my email?
Oh, on the project?
Yeah, you know the project that's due next Friday? I'm going to highlight the first 5 articles. Kathy's going to do the next 5. And can you get to the last 5?
Sounds good. I'll get on them. I'm going to do all my highlights in yellow. And can you use pink?
Yeah, then we can just combine all the highlights to create our final report.
Sure. Thanks, Ina. Will do.
Sharing your research has never been easier. Use Rohit.com. Rohit.com.
Do you ever search for information on the web? Do you ever use Yahoo or Google or any other search engine? Well, guess what? Every time you search, there's only parts of certain pages that are of interest to you. Use Rohit.com to highlight the parts that are of interest to you. And everything that you highlight is automatically saved and collected for you. See all of your web research consolidated in one place. Rohit.com is a no sign up, no joining, free, no download service.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Technology Credit Union is celebrating its 50th anniversary of serving the financial needs of the technology community. We're proud to support small businesses with the personal services they need to succeed and grow. Find out what Technology Credit Union can do for your business. Visit our website at www.techu.com for more information.
All right, and now let's get back to our show with our host, Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who has raised millions of dollars in equity financing and started several companies in Silicon Valley. Something you may not know about him is that he's dabbled with stand-up comedy, and he really enjoys writing.
Tare tod lao sari duniya par main chahu bas itna sa khwab hai bas itna sa khwab hai
Sapne Salamat. Welcome back, doston. We are talking today with Abhay Bhushan, Iron Man. Abhay Bhushan. Abhay, you've been involved with a couple of dozen companies. You've been on the board of half a dozen. I'm not even going to ask you how many you've started, but let's talk about this Iron Man thing. Now,
well, you know, it all started with Asha for Education people coming to me and saying, you know, Abhay, you've been involved with Asha for Education from the very beginning when Sandeep Pandey, Deepak Gupta, came to me and said, you know, we want to start do something for education people in India. So I said, okay, I'll come and I'll give a spiel while they want to do fundraising for Asha for Education through a marathon program. When I was there, I said, I'll do it. My God. I said, what have I done? I was going to be 57. I did the training program. I really felt a lot better about myself and about how I felt. I ran a marathon.
So wait, hang on. You ran a marathon at age 57?
Correct. The first one.
The first one?
Right.
Okay.
And then after that, I ran a few more. And then I said, you know, this marathon's getting a little thing. I used to bicycle to work and bicycle along. I said, no, how about biking, running, and combining it? And I swim also. So I said, okay, this is a triathlon. Okay. So I looked at the thing. I said, the Ironman triathlon. So I should do it. I said, let me just do a first half Ironman. It's called Ironman 70.3 in wine country, and I signed up for it, and I just trained for it, and I just really enjoyed it.
And how old were you at this point?
I was 62. And okay. It was the most marvelous
I'm embarrassed.
Experience.
I'm like really embarrassed.
But, you know, it took me 8 hours, and I got so exhausted, so I said, I'm not going to do the full Ironman.
Yeah.
I mean, that would take me 16 hours, and that's a little too much.
So for the benefit of my listeners, elaborate again, how many miles did you run, how many miles did you bike, and
well,
how many miles did you swim?
Ironman 70.3 is 1.2-mile swim.
1.2-mile swim,
followed by 56-mile bike ride on the wine country hills.
56 miles on a bicycle pedaling.
And then followed by 13.1-mile run, half marathon run.
And this is all without any breaks in between?
No breaks. I mean, they count your time. If you take a break, that counts for your time.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Jeez. Okay. I am floored. Anyway, I've got a call that's been on hold for a while. I'm going to grab this real quick. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air. 1, 2, 3, out. Sorry about that. We need, folks, please remember to turn your radios down before you call. Have a couple of announcements that I wanted to make. I'm going to grab this opportunity. So, folks, if you're enjoying this show, you can also find us on the web on ruhit.com/radio. I want to give a big thank you to folks like Ashwin Patel and Srinu who've been very, very helpful trying to pull things together. We get a lot of emails saying thanks, and folks, we really keep trying to help. So we certainly appreciate your emails, and we certainly appreciate the calls coming in. I really want to commend the quality of calls we get. I think it's a very, very highly, I just can't say enough. It's just very high quality of calls, and we are very appreciative of that. We're really trying to help the next generation entrepreneur. And what we're also doing is we're looking for folks that can help us put the show together. So there's always a little bit of help that needs to be done. And if you think you can help, we'd certainly appreciate hearing from you. You can reach us on radio@ruhit.com. That's radio at ruhit.com. Having said that, we are also looking for a couple of engineers. So I'm looking for a JavaScript engineer and a LAMP engineer that we're looking to hire for one of the startups that I'm involved with. LAMP, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, and JavaScript. So if you have possessed those skills, please reach out to us. You can, again, send in your request to radio@ruhit.com. And finally, folks, interns. Yes, if there's folks that are looking to gain some experience and looking to get involved with young startup company or looking to get involved with the radio show, we're looking for interns. radio@ruhit.com is the best way to get a hold of us. So anyways, all right. So coming back, Abhay, so you did the half Iron Man, and I'm looking at my notes here. It also says you bought the first generation of Prius. You've got a solar water heater installed in your own house. You've got solar panels at home, and you are very, very big on this whole social and green.
Well, I think the first thing I always say, and this is not just now, this has been since 1978, you got to walk the talk.
Yeah.
If you believe something, you got to do it. Like, if you believe that the environment needs to be protected, why not walk and bicycle or take public transportation? Yeah. If you believe that solar energy is good, start yourself. And so therefore, Prius was the first, when the Prius first came in the market, I said, this is a great car. I don't care that much about economics. I will just get it because it pollutes less and gives better miles per gallon.
Kudos. All right. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah, hello. I wanted to just call in and say hello to Abhay. Is this the show he's live on?
You are live on the air, and Abhay is listening to you and smiling. My friend, you haven't told us what your name is, and you haven't given us the Sapne Salamat salutation.
So I'm new to Sapne Salamat, but
welcome. We are glad to have you.
I don't know the salutation, so I'm sorry. I'm remiss on that. I just wanted to tell you that you couldn't have a more inspiring guest than Abhay for this topic that you've got. Apart from his skills in raising money and managing the business side of things, I think Abhay is a great inspirer and great source of inspiration for all his other personal attributes. I think all of that, which is very important in being an overall entrepreneur, because those are the sort of attributes and skills of a person, how he can persevere, how he can achieve things that would otherwise seem insurmountable.
I think you've knocked him speechless.
Well, I'm just trying to see who getting your name.
I've known Abhay for many years.
Yeah.
Going back to the time when he just joined IIT, got out of IIT, got married to Judith, and right through, and now in the Bay Area.
You should know the voice, Abhay. He knows too much about you. You should know that.
I am just, like the voice on this telephone line doesn't say, I know, I do know you. I'm just thinking which one, because there are a number of people.
Right. So these go back to connections back in your hometown in India. Anyway.
Allahabad, Delhi?
Sorry?
Allahabad, Delhi?
Allahabad. Your hometown was always Allahabad.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to see who. Raj Sahai? No.
Okay, one more guess I'll give you, and then I'll tell you who
Ravi, I am. Ravi's... No, go ahead.
Okay. So this is Piyush.
Oh, Piyush Agarwal. Okay. No, one second. No. Piyush, that's really because, of course, you knew, but you were so much junior to me. I was thinking of my IITK friends, okay? Piyush is my cousin's cousin. So I've known Piyush since he was a very, very young kid when my uncle got married to his aunt. His buaji married my chachaji.
Okay.
Right, Piyush? You remember that time?
So just to let everybody know, the listeners also, when he says, kid, I'm 58, okay?
So, see, I was 10 or 11, Piyush was only 3 or 4 when we first met. So that's why you put me off when you started saying IIT days. I was thinking of my batchmates and people who were first 5 years. I thought it must be Piyush, but I said, no, he wasn't with me. It could be Subhash, but I said, that wouldn't be. So, I was just going through 3-4 different people of my time.
Not to hijack the show, but certainly I think, Abhay, you are a fantastic guest for this particular show in terms of what you've done, not only in business, but I think more inspiringly in the community.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. And I wish you can develop some scheme to do some bigger things in the community.
Well, together we can.
Yeah, sure.
No, Piyush, thank you for your call, and I think we certainly appreciate it. We don't view it as a hijacking of the show at all. I think fundamentally what we're trying to do with this show is create a very, very real show. And I think when we get calls like folks from yourself who can endorse somebody who's sort of seen what somebody's done over the last 20, 30, 40, or I'm even going to say 50 years in this case, as might be.
Right.
It certainly helps validate that. So,
fantastic.
So I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. All the best.
All right. Sapne Salamat, my friend. All right, so that was interesting, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I know, of course, I know Piyush, okay, so well. Yeah. I mean, ever since he was a little kid. But, you know, he talked about my IIT days, and he was in IIT Kanpur.
Yeah.
But he joined 3 years after, he graduated in 72. Yeah. So he joined 2 years after I had left.
Yeah. So, well, I certainly enjoyed, I certainly appreciate you having come on the show this afternoon. I've had a lot of fun having you on here, and it's just, it's really inspiring for folks out there, and for folks like us, to see somebody who's still running marathons at age 60X, and somebody who's doing all this stuff. So it's really, really fantastic.
Right. Well, I'll just say, just like in a marathon,
if
an Ironman
like
marathon.
If you would like your children to speak in Hindi at home with friends and family, understand and enjoy Hindi movies and songs, be able to relate to India and Indians, then U.S. Hindi Association is the right place for you. The best part is that U.S. Hindi Association Conversation